Yeah, this is Seth Warris from Channel 9 coming to you from Codemash 2016 in Sandusky, Ohio. Yes. Look who I found!
I know. It's like the sighting of like some rare white elk of like what?
She's
after 5 years.
Out.
6 years.
Sarah Ford.
Hey, man.
What's going on?
Yeah, it's good to be here. It's really good to be here.
So you haven't been to a conference for a couple of years. This is your first conference. But not only that, you're wearing a special shirt.
Yes.
iCode, we all know that, but now who do you get to code for or help with?
Yes, 2 months ago, I became the senior product manager of community at GitHub.
So what does it mean to be a senior product manager for community?
Yeah, so it's kind of similar to what I did previously, mm-hmm. you know, being able to work on features, design features, figure out what do communities need, mm-hmm. these projects, the coordinators, contributors, to be able to be successful and be able to be inviting to other people who want to contribute.
Of course.
And it's just like so wonderful to, after all this time, to be able to use all the experience I had in the past.
That's right.
So get to focus.
GitHub is really cool company because they hold a lot of the world's code now.
Yes.
So what does it feel like? I mean, you're dealing with code from everybody. I mean,
it's surreal. Is this really happening? I feel like I've only been there for like 5 days.
Right.
Because it's just been 5 long days of is this real? Am I going to wake up tomorrow?
Sure.
But I'm still having this dream. It's just amazing.
For those that don't know what GitHub is, because they've been living under a rock, why don't you describe what GitHub is and how someone can get started and how it's like really literally free to do it?
GitHub is open source project hosting site. You can have a private repo, you have public repos, you can fork existing code, and there's a lot of training material out there that GitHub, I found out like just working the booth today, that a lot of people didn't know that GitHub had training material on the site.
I asked about it myself.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. So you've been gone for 4-5 years, but you've been busy. You went to school.
Busy.
Tell us about what you learned.
Yes, so I, one of the things from previously when I worked on Coplex, I was so impressed by our vendors who did a lot of our UX for us, like our research and our designs. And I was like, okay, how do you guys know how to do this? Like, where did you go to school and learn how to do this? I want that knowledge.
Sure.
Because like as a product manager, how do you grow? You could either go back to school or work on being more technical, mm-hmm. or you could go for an MBA. And I didn't want to do either of those two things.
Yeah.
I wanted to like understand our users better.
Sure.
So I went and got what's called a human factors degree, so AKA an ergonomics degree.
I see.
So you know, like when you go into the office and you get the ergonomic review.
Sure.
I had to take an entire class on that. So technically, I can do an ergonomic evaluation. Technically, but my thing is software ergonomics.
Right.
And the thing that I just loved was understanding like the psychology behind like engineering performance, like all the things that go on like in the brain about like for usability. It's not just like, oh, I think that this is nice. No, like there's like the empirical research and the study and the psychology of why these things. And I did a blog post on LinkedIn, I think it was a few months ago, of like 9 things I learned from UX school as a programmer.
I think I saw that.
Yeah, and it was just like, these are the 9 things I wish I could go back in time and tell myself that to pay attention to. But yeah, I could talk for forever, but
so
as everyone knows.
There are developers right now, they're like, what are those 9 things? Could you give us maybe just a little snippet of some of those things?
Yeah, I'll give you one.
This is the gold nuggets, people. I hope you're sitting down.
Okay, I'll tell you what it is, and then I'll give like the teaser. So one of the things is like, why do humans make errors? This is like fascinating to me as a previously software tester. Okay, why do people make errors? There are 3 types. There's a lapse. Like, hey, what's your name again?
Jim.
It can be a cognitive, it's like, I can't quite remember what I was doing, this happens to everyone all the time.
Right.
The second type, it's an error of retrieval. You can't get the information out of long-term memory.
Okay.
So the second type is called a slip. So it can be cognitive or it could be a motor function. So for example, an action slip is like, you're Saturday morning, you have to drive to the grocery store for whatever reason, and you start driving to work, and you're like, why am I going to work on a Saturday morning?
Right.
It's an action slip. Oh, we do it all the time when we type, when we have a typo. We did not intend to misspell the word. It was an action slip. It was an error of the actual motion of the motor control program that was sent to the muscles. And then the third type is called a mistake. So a mistake is actually a type of error. And a mistake can be two types. It could be like, the first type is called rules-based or heuristic-based mistakes, which is like, I'm a quarterback, and I think they're playing zone defense. So I throw the ball to who I think is open, and it turns out, no, they were doing man, or whatever coverage.
So there, there was a cognitive decision based upon information that was incorrect.
That, like, based on what I wanted to do, here's an even a simpler example. I think the answer to 1 + 1 = 3. So I circled 3 on the exam, but the answer was 2.
Right.
I made the choice to circle 3, but I made a mistake.
Right.
Because I, for whatever reason, I had the wrong knowledge. Now, that's the other type of mistake, which is knowledge-based mistake, which we do all the time whenever we're trying to use Git. Like, it's like, I don't know why this is not working. Why did this come in? And where we go, you go look it up, or that's like the XKCD cartoon.
Pretty much anytime you merge, so, right? You delete the repo, and then just roll it down again, right?
And then you text it, and then you text your, you know,
that's right.
Like, help me.
Yeah.
So why I call this all out and why I have this, like, the blog post, is like, once you understand, like, why people make these errors, then you can design it out. For example, action slips. The cool thing there is that if you have an action slip, you know immediately that an action has occurred, and you can capture that and let the user know immediately. It could be like before or after they commit whatever the error was. Whereas with mistakes, those are the things that are so costly because you don't know. And then as the longer an issue or an error is in the system, the more expensive it is to catch, more damaging it is later on.
That's right.
And so all this came from the World War II, when people were trying to fly planes for the first time, and they just could not fly planes because they were just so complicated. So the military got psychologists to come in and study why humans were, like, unable to fly planes. And so, yeah, I've gotten to read books on all the stuff, and it's been, like, really awesome. And now I get to apply it to software.
So there was slip, lapse, and mistake.
Yeah.
And you're saying that those three types of human errors, you can mitigate them in software.
Yes.
If you know it.
Yeah. I mean, obviously you want to mitigate all, but that's the thing. You can't mitigate all errors. Humans will make errors. It's like it's software testing. If you allow for something to happen, someone will come out and you see these bug reports, like, how on earth did this ever happen? So mistakes, well, it's just knowing how to fail gracefully. It's knowing that, like it's knowing the why behind, so that you can try to design it out as much as possible, but also realizing mistakes will occur, errors will occur, and never ever assuming that everything's going to just go fine.
So in the face of these errors, right, you have to sort of design, and if you can be specific, like, this is a slip, or this is just a lapse, or this is a mistake, we can correct it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Like phone numbers. Like, you know, like when you type in a phone number, you want it to auto insert the dash.
Yeah.
And or you want you want it, as soon as you type and you tap out, like, tell me right then and there that I did something wrong, or this is only alphanumeric.
Yeah.
Or here's the best one. How it drives me crazy when you don't know the requirements for a password.
Yeah.
When you're creating a new password.
Yeah.
Tell me up front. Don't allow me to make the error. You notice how I say error and not mistake, because I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, don't allow me to make the error of creating an incorrect password because you didn't tell me what the rules were up front.
And then you can go even further with UX and just have the little stars be red until it's right and make them be green.
Or you just tell me ahead of time, what is it that needs to be changed.
I love that. So what other principles have you found in sort of your studies to help with software development?
Oh, man. So we had to do a 250-page minimum paper on the teacher just assigned all of us to do the Yahoo homepage redesign.
Oh, my gosh.
So I have about 200. I actually at one point thought I was a Yahoo employee, because all I was doing was, like, incorporating, like, this living day in, day out in the Yahoo homepage. So, yeah, I had to look at, like, all the clickbait articles.
Wait, 250 pages?
Yeah, minimum. Minimum.
I heard words, which was a mistake.
No.
But, right? Did I get that right?
Yeah, I
got it right. I got it right by about my mistake. So you had to write 250 pages of what was wrong with
it. Yeah, and like the intro is, I need to do something with it. I also sent it to my friends who I knew at Yahoo.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm doing something with this thing. But yeah, like the beginning when you said, what are the design principles? It was like 20 or 30.
Yeah.
And like, what was like a good one off the top? Here, I'm having a memory lapse. What is a good one off the top of my head? If you have an, so humans hate to scan the edges. Humans hate two things. They hate looking at, like I like how I go in the third person. Yeah. They hate looking at the edges and they hate white space. So if you have information that's over in the edge or in the white space, like you humans, and this has been empirically proven, that you just stop when you get to white space. You don't continue to look.
Right.
And that's why it's like so frustrating to find like if an error, it's like why the buttons, if they're down here, yeah. you don't see them. Or you have to find and search for it, like the pat, like why it's so good to continue with like normal patterns,
sure.
design patterns. But yeah, there was like 20 or 30 of those, and we had to apply it to throughout the entire UI architecture of the entire Yahoo homepage redesign.
It feels like what you're telling me now, because I had an idea of what UX and what kind of that kind of those kind of design, but it feels like I pulled a little thread and I'm like, oh, the sweater is coming up, because it feels yeah. like there's so much more to learn about this kind of stuff.
I know, and then my first like psychology course with an undergrad classmate, and I'm like, what is psychology? I thought I don't even know what this like is, and they're like, it's the study of the like or cognition. That's the study of the brain. I'm like, oh, thank you. Okay.
Yeah.
Like I was like, this is a whole new world that I had no experience in.
And so you spent several years going through that kind of study. If you could distill that, and I know this is a very hard question, if you could distill yeah. that into some advice, and I know you did into 9 points, what would be sort of a thread through all of those that you could say, hey, look, as a developer, please consider this. What would that be?
I would read the book, Designing for the Mind, like M-I-N-D, mm-hmm. in Mind, M-I-N-D.
Okay.
That was hands down the best book on all this, because he used very concrete examples using like all these heuristic principles.
Sure, sure.
With concrete examples of the psychology plus the here's how it applies to software or the modern world. But he did it in such a way it was so easy to parse and understand.
Well, I'm going to put that in my bookstore and have
it's
Prime
really
Day
good.
Shipped. That's
really
awesome.
Good.
Well, cool. Well, where can we see you next? What are you going to be doing?
It's just a very new world for me. So. I have no idea. I'm just like, really excited that I was able to get out here. And I have not seen anyone at Comash in over 6 years.
Oh my goodness.
So this has just been, just incredible to get out here.
Well, welcome back. Look who I found, everybody, Sarah Ford. So excited to talk to you. And I'm looking forward to reading some of this book and maybe picking your brain on some of these things later on if you have time, of course.
Yeah. Awesome.
All right, again, we're here at Codemash 2016. This is Sandusky, Ohio, the frigid tundra. Way too cold for me. Thanks so much for watching. My name is Seth Juarez. This is Channel 9. Take care, and we'll see you next time.